Hello, people. Welcome to episode 37. 27.
I'm just waiting for you to finish having your gummy bears.
17. Which one is it?
20.
Really?
Yeah.
We're on our 20th. We should do something special. Like drink some wine, have some gummy bears, sour bites.
And talk about news.
Yeah, I said special.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
So, settled in, chairs are pulled up, we're ready to go. Let's do this. Episode 20.
Episode 20!
So on today's episode, we're going to be covering, as we do sometimes, like a quick vegan news roundup. We're going to talk about some of the vegan happenings and some of the good news and a little bit of the bad.
No creative step-ons. I'm the content person thingy in this podcast. What am I? What's my title? What's my importance in your life, Chirag? Let's all of this. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Tell me, what do I mean to you?
But don't we have this really important news to do?
Now we need to set our dynamics right before we even think of running a podcast together.
Oh, so I was going to be my vegan podcast co-host, but if you're not going to do that, then it's not left a lot. I don't know if people watch Game of Thrones, but this is like that. Tell me who I am to you. You're my queen. That's it? Like, what the f***?
Oh man, that was such a friend zone episode.
Oh, that was horrible. It was just horrible.
Season 8 has been terrible, by the way. Have you seen? There was this one meme that I saw. So I follow this page called Game of Thrones Memes on Facebook, right? So there's this one meme where it said season 1 to season 3. So it's a drawing of a horse.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
So season 1 to season 3 is like this really well done sketch by a painter or an artist.
Yeah, so the horse's ass, essentially. And it's like very well shaded and the tail is very well drawn and everything.
Yeah, and then season 4 to season 7 is a kid who does
like stick figure.
Oh my god, I miss George R. R. Martin.
Did you see that he's posted something on his blog saying that like everything is on hold at the moment. He hasn't resumed working on the book yet.
He must be having the last laugh over here.
He's really upset, actually.
Really? He asked for it.
We're going to try to keep the spoiler free, but at the end of episode 4, there was an interview with George R. R. Martin where there were two things he said. I think one he said was he was a bit disappointed in some of the character arcs.
Yeah.
So he's like, I would not have ended things certain ways for certain characters, which I think was one of the things. And then I think he kind of hinted at, I think it was for Bronn. Bronn is
the guy who wants his fucking castle.
That's the guy right there. And I think he's now Lord of Highgarden or something, but to be fair, as much as his grievances are valid, that's a bit unfair to the creators as well, because obviously they can't include every single character in the books, and so some of the roles have to be adopted by other characters, which is what happens a lot. So I don't blame him for that, but I think he seems generally pretty upset with the tone and direction the show has taken, because they've pretty much had a free-for-all after season 6.
Yeah, I think about 8 billion people are with him on this one. Yeah, maybe 7 billion and a few cats here and there. But who's your favorite character in the show?
Well, it was Tyrion until season 7.
Why is this guy existing in the show anymore? I don't know. He's contributed nothing in the last 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah, and I think he was supposed to be a much stronger character, as he was up to season 6, or even sort of starting into season 7. But I think just in general, the character depths have kind of gone out the door ever since the books have not been available. And so a lot of the layers and the motivations and things have changed. Even some of the dialogue has become really sad now. Like, it's very
Bollywoodish.
Yeah, it's very like, yeah, I was gonna say pop-like. Yeah. But it's very pop-like. So
I quite like Tormund. He's my favorite in the show. I'm a part of these couple of Facebook pages again. I think Mark Zuckerberg is rich mainly because of me.
Yeah, I mean, you do have a problem, it does sound like.
Yeah. So one of the pages is called Humans of Patriarchy and the other one is called Feminist United.
I'm sensing a pattern.
And and both of them, I think, at some stage had posted this, right? So they had put a picture of Tormund and they said, genuinely likes a woman, but does not harass her or stalk her, right? Accepts no for an answer. Gets rejected when he's drunk, yet does not create a scene. Eventually just moves on and still supports the woman who has rejected him. That's how we want our men to be. It was just so spot on, right? And that I think you know, you give somebody a supporting role and they take it to that level that you just remember them. I think Tommen and the guy who played Sandor Clegane.
The Hound.
Mm. Brilliant. So let's start with the most important news, which is also a bit of a sad news. Dumbo, the baby elephant that was forced to perform tricks in Thailand, has died. And there was a campaign that was done for his freedom. He was pretty malnourished. He had a very skeletal body. And animal lovers around the world saw his case and they were petitioning to get him released. But he was so weak that he actually fell on his own 2 feet, broke his legs and died under his own weight, sadly. It's such a heartbreaking news because I think the poor baby hardly saw any good in his life from the time he was born. And we really urge people to not visit these any kind of attractions or entertainment facilities where they have or force animals to perform. There is no animal in this world, including humans, who would want to, who would be happy performing tricks by force. Let them be in their natural surroundings and please do not give your dollars to such business.
You know, they'll argue the technicality aside, but like obviously the, if you just look at the series of events, it's very clear that a lot of this has to do with the fact that this animal has been in quote-unquote captivity as part of this from a very young age. So he's not even been able to grow, you know, into a proper body, able-bodied adult before he was even taken for any of this stuff. I mean, so that's part of the problem. Already, as you said, there was a petition going on. I think it said 200,000 signatures plus. It's a lot of awareness to create that kind of number. And yet, the animal was made, you know, was continued to perform, like, continued to be performing tricks to the point where it, one of those tricks took his life, essentially. I mean, that says a lot about the kind of apathy and the kind of situation and the kind of what's driving these performances.
Obviously, we can get into a deeper end of this conversation. There's poverty, there is lack of awareness, there are people who this petition does not reach. You know, it reaches the authority, but it does not reach the people who are actually buying the tickets and going and seeing them perform because they're probably not the most educated lot out there or not aware and things like that. The sad part about all of this is that the Phuket Zoo are free to acquire another baby if they choose to, as the authorities rule no laws have been broken.
We've talked about this on previous episodes as well, right? Like, we really, I think we need to see a lot more at a policy level because this is where we're always going to have this problem. You remember this family that shot a dog through the head and shot their pet through the head, basically. And again, it was the same thing. No law has been broken because in the way the law is written, it's like if you know, cruel practices are a thing. But it was ruled that because the dog was shot through the head, like it suffered no pain. And I mean, these all sound like insane legal loopholes, but that's just how the laws are written today. Yes, so there's two angles to this, of course. It's like you have to have the awareness, you have to have people not attending these things and the people or the organizers of such shows should not be making them or should feel the public pressure to not do this because these businesses are not, if they're not successful, they'll stop doing them, right, at some point. So that should happen. But the other side, there has to be, you know, much, much clearer policy in terms of protecting animals and dealing with these kind of cruel situations, not having them perform against their will, etc. It has to come from both ends.
Yeah. For now, let's just hope Phuket Zoo gets the point and does not replace Dumbo by some other baby elephant. Moving on to some celebrity news.
Yeah, it's been a while since we did a celebrity thing. We like doing celebrity news, don't we?
So, under celebrity news, Romesh Ranganathan, who has come out with this video, which has an amazing vegan message.
People hate vegans. The reason they hate vegans is because they think we're humourless. They think that we think we're better than non-vegans. They think that we're always banging on about it. And all of those things are true. I am better than you if you're not vegan. In terms of my ethical decisions, I'm so much better than you. I'm better for the planet. I'm better for the animals. There's nothing worse about me apart from I'm slightly irritating to have around for dinner. And if you don't want to invite me as a result of that, great. I don't want to come to your house.
I mean, I hadn't heard about this until you showed it to me, which is sad because I actually love him. I've followed him for many years. He's, in my opinion, a hilarious comedian in his own right. I didn't even know he was vegan, which is obviously like, I like him a lot more now. But yeah, so we saw this video before this, and it was hilarious. I mean, it was just straight talk, but in his own humorous style as usual. He does this bit where he says, like, well, you know, whatever, like, I have to tell you I'm vegan because, you know, I come to your house for dinner and you offer me, like, toast with cheese and a cappuccino and this. He's like, do you want me to say no every time, or can I just say I'm vegan and can we end the conversation there? Like, I mean, in a hilarious
way. And then he says, what's your problem? The thing that I loved about this video was when he actually openly, boldly just said, yeah, I'm better than you, deal with it. And you know, every vegan thinks like that, knows that, but we don't say it because we don't think like that because we say it out of some kind of a superiority complex. We just say it based out of statistics, right? I kill lesser animals, hence I contribute lesser to the carbon dioxide or the greenhouse gases and the things like that. So I'm, like he says, you know, I'm better for the animals and I'm better for the environment. Not that I'm a better person than you, you know, but when you say that, yeah, I am better than you, people just think that, okay, you're just showing off and you're one of those vegans, and because of vegans like you, we don't want to be vegan and things like that. But he just says it so calmly and so casually, and you're just like, yeah, rooting for him in your head. But then you're like, I would never be able to say this to anybody.
We'll link to his video obviously in the show notes because you should go check it out.
So do you want to listen to some funny news, or do you want to listen to something serious and inspirational?
Serious and inspirational, then funny.
So the London Marathon happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this time, the London Marathon replaced all their plastic drinking water bottles by water pods, drinking pods. Have you seen the ad for those drinking pods? You just
this
pop
is the
on
one
in
that
your
you
mouth,
pop in the mouth, and it's
just
like
becomes
a,
water. And the
like a pani puri.
Yes, except that you don't have to chew on anything. The outer bit of that pod is made with seaweed, and then it's edible, so you can just eat it off. Imagine 216,000 bottles just in one marathon. Imagine the amount of people that there are in this world, which is 7.5 billion.
I mean, I'm guilty of it too. It's not like I'm all clean and clear here, but it's amazing. I mean, how many how many discussions I have at coffee shops every single time I go there, because you know it's summer and I'm having a cold drink and I have to tell them, like, please don't serve it in a plastic container. Can I have a paper container at least? And I have to have this, like, but sir, cold plastic. I had one cafe 2 weeks ago. I have to check. And he went and asked the team leader or somebody if they could issue me a paper container. And I'm like, well, I don't understand why this is part of this process. Like, what this
must be the
sense
price of the, because the price is determined by the quantities that they order, right?
Yeah.
And they would order plastic more than they would order paper. So he wanted to check if you're paying $20 for that drink, can he fit in a paper cup instead?
Of course he can, because the hot drinks are cheaper and hot drinks come in paper cups.
You know, those are lined with plastic as well. You need to carry your own cups. Just buy one. Stop being lazy.
What's our next piece of news?
So following this, 187 countries, which is nearly all of world's countries, have pledged to stop shipping hard-to-recycle plastic waste to poorer countries. I don't know if you saw that video.
Isn't that amazing that is even a thing?
Yeah, it's appalling, but yeah.
I'm glad we're laughing about it. I mean, it's insane to me. Like, remember when we did that episode of plastic and we had the guy from the European Union, like, have a chat with us and stuff. And he was giving us statistics about how, like, most of the single-use plastic from Europe is shipped to China to be recycled. Like, insane.
And even the US.
Yeah, and then what happens is then that goes into circulation there.
So earlier this year, China stopped accepting recycling from the US. And so this obviously led to buildup of all the plastic waste. So they then moved it to the villages in Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand and turned them into dump sites. And I don't know if you saw this video that was circulating online of this officer in Malaysia, where she actually went and did some checks. So these countries are only allowed to accept plastic that can be recycled, not plastic waste that can no longer be recycled, right? And she saw that people were sending non-recyclable plastic now. Like, she obviously put her foot down and she's like, I'm not accepting this, send it back. And they had to send it back.
Yeah, there was another piece that came out where studies were done that showed that, quote-unquote, biodegradable plastic bags were in completely mint condition 3 years after they were buried. Absolutely no decomposition whatsoever. And they were full strength and could be reused as well. So yeah, when they tell you that the plastic is recyclable / biodegradable, not really something.
Besides, any kind of plastic cannot be recycled more than 3 to 4 times. Some plastic cannot be recycled at all. Lids on bottles cannot be recycled. But you may as well use something that glass can be infinitely recycled, right? So you may as well do that.
I mean, there's a lot of activity right now around companies trying to change some of their packaging and stuff, right? So there's a really interesting initiative called Loop, which is supposed to launch here later this year, but it's currently in, I think they launched in France, I want to say. But it's started by this one company, and then they kind of got some of the big companies on board. So they got Procter & Gamble on board and stuff like that, entirely with the concept of doing aluminum packaging for everything. And then the company itself will come to your house, pick up the empty container, refill it, and give it back to you. So again, it's like a door to... Again, this is another thing, right? This door-to-door delivery thing. Like, well, okay, now what's the carbon footprint here? Because you have to send this truck out day after day to you and stuff. So it's a little questionable there. But at least it's better than in terms of the plastic that's being generated. It's kind of being eased out because I think one of the big problems we have... One is pricing is a huge issue, right? So, I mean, we see that even now, right? Like, even though the eco-friendly, the better alternative is right on the shelf with us, people would invariably pick the less one because it's cheaper. And the other issue is convenience, right? So can you find a product that serves all these requirements easily enough? And so this is kind of the attempt to take care of that. So let's see how it goes.
Funny news is that there was a lawsuit that was filed against Miyoko. So Miyoko is a brand that does vegan butter and vegan cheese. And the lawsuit has alleged that the vegan brand basks in dairy's halo by using the term butter on its cultured vegan butter product, which overtly states that the cashew-based product is made from plants. How free are these people in life? And how much money do they have to go and file for these lawsuits?
Actually, I think it's the other way around. How much money are they losing because of these products is the real problem.
Apparently, they settled it out of court, and I'm really hoping Miyoko did not have to pay them any money for this kind of bullshit.
Probably do.
I found that really funny. Don't call it butter!
But by the way, this has been something that we've seen before as well. I don't remember which company had done that, but somebody else had sued. I think it was a group of people. I don't think it was a company necessarily that had sued another vegan brand the same way to say, please don't use milk and please don't use names like milk and stuff because it implies it has, like, it's, like you said, basking in the dairy halo. Whatever that means.
I mean, I'm going to call a pig's ass pork and hams just so that I feel better about what I'm eating. But hey, you don't call your Satan meat because that's just wrong.
Yeah, you can't call it bacon. Huh.
Call it fakin. How about you f*** off?
So since we're still talking about food, Beyond Meat and the Beyond Burger, or rather the makers of the Beyond Burger, which is somebody that has been in the news quite a bit recently. They actually went public.
Woohoo!
I know, it was a big thing. But not only was it a big thing, it was one of the largest IPOs in recent history and the biggest IPO of 2019, which is insane.
How much did they raise? 2 billion or something?
They raised 240 million, but I mean, they took their valuation to about $1.5 billion. And apparently they... the first trade of the stock happened at about $46 a share, which was already about 80% higher than the IPO price. And then they closed on the first day at about $65.
Are you planning to buy the shares? Do you buy shares?
Yeah, but no, I can't buy them in the US. And I think this is it's a conversation I'm having a lot around when we're talking about sustainability, again, on another podcast. But the idea being that it's super important that all of these initiatives be profitable, like super important. Because otherwise, this is not going to work. Partially because it's not going to encourage people to enter these businesses. The ones that can do it are the ones that can afford to do it. So you do it on the side or something, then that's a different story. But the other side of it also is because it'll not be lucrative enough for the traditional, meat product companies, the traditional dairy companies to want to include these products or switch if they're not profitable. And so it's really important that they stay profitable. So, I mean, this kind of an IPO showing just sends the right sentiment that we want it to send, which is basically, hey, guess what? Like, you know, plant-based products and even if it's fake meat or faux meat or whatever you want to call it, is a successful enough business. I mean, you can raise a valuation of something shy of $2 billion. This is big stuff.
Now that we're talking about stock shares, our dear old friend Greg.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah. Their stock prices have surged a record high since they launched the vegan sausage.
Well, that's interesting. That was at the start of the year, wasn't it? But we covered them.
The chain said its very strong start to 2019 has been boosted by demand for the vegan-friendly version of its most popular product. And they expanded it to 1,950 Greggs locations across the UK.
That's brilliant.
Thank you, Piers Morgan. We love you. What an idiot. I mean, I hope he just goes back and sees, what the f*** did I do here?
I don't think he cares.
No, it just got... they got all the traction thanks to his tweet, right?
Maybe they paid him.
Oh, yeah. Nah. Let's just be happy with the fact that he's a stupid dumbass who's actually done this.
Well, if nothing else, we know how to pronounce his name now.
I have done it. It's Piers Morgan.
I've done it too. It's Piers Morgan.
Dude, we need to get this right. Can you please open some interview of his where the person is announcing?
I walked out with an AR-15.
Literally no one try it took me to find his the way he pronounces his name.
This is Piers Morgan live.
I still feel it's Piers Morgan, but...
He doesn't pronounce it like that. We can't
I
do this
feel,
again. We don't have,
I
we
feel
did
like
this.
He should...
Hold on. Sorry. We did this in January. We can't do this all over again. We just really can't.
Why not?
Because we did it in January. We can't.
So
we can't.
That's what couples do. Fight over the same thing over and over again.
Okay, so let
the
couples...
The two vegans.
Apparently, I just got a heart thrown at me. All right. What else we got?
No, we're on a roll with this one. So Dan One, who has actually basked in Dairy's halo. Okay. Yeah, since like... a bloody century or so. Some of the brands that come under Danone are Alpro, So Delicious, and Silk. And Silk and So Delicious have been very well received. We don't have it here, but they are one of the best alternatives out there in the Western world. And it's quite interesting, right? They generate $2 billion in dairy sales, and just these brands have given them sales worth $1 billion.
Wow, that's quite a
time. So yeah, they say that in the next 10 years, plant-based alternatives are going to take over.
Yeah, and we're seeing that as well across the board, across a lot of other companies as well, right? So we had, there was a news about the dairy industry suffering really badly because of all the dairy-free alternatives to milk. I mean, whether it was soy, tofu, and everything else, but it was dairy and plant and the egg industry as well. And then now we've seen, for example, someone like the Beyond Meat, as we just spoke about it, taking over. So we are seeing a huge push. And I think especially for dairy, there's also the health side of it. So we have, I mean, just in my own circles, we have so many people who are either allergic to dairy in some form or don't react well to dairy anymore just because of the amount of crap that's in the dairy we have here. And so a lot of people are switching to the non-dairy alternatives anyway. A vegan pizzeria won a top prize at a pizza championship.
Where is this?
In Italy.
Oh my God.
I know. So this place called Purezza. I assume that's how they pronounce it because it's Italian. It's Purezza. But they're the first vegan pizzeria to compete in the competition at all, which is great.
I love this.
Yeah. And the first vegan pizzeria to win anything at this competition since it started in 1991. And what was really cool is the pizza that they wanted, which, because I really feel like reading this description, so I'm going to do this, right? So they had an IPA-infused whole grain pizza dough. And then they had tempeh and mushrooms and a bean sauce on it, along with some ginger puree, agave syrup, and vegan caviar. And they had two types of non-dairy cheeses on it. They had their own signature vegan cheese, which they call mozzarella 2.0, because apparently it's exactly like mozzarella, but of course it's allergen-free and whatever. And they also had a fermented cashew cheese on it. And they won.
All I can think of right now is mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
The American kind.
So anyway, so these guys also won National Pizza of the Year in the UK. And they also won...
When are they going mainstream? When are all these people coming to the UAE?
I know.
When is Greg's coming here? I want to say hi to him.
Maybe we'll, you know, buy one of
your...
I want
to say hi to Greg's sausage.
We're still making this joke.
On the non-food side, H&M, the brand, the clothing brand, has decided to ban cashmere products altogether. So PETA Asia went and did an expose of all the Chinese companies that supply the cashmere. And they found out that... So 90% of world's cashmere production comes from China and Mongolia. And PETA Asia went and did this. They shared this footage where workers were hitting goats over the head with hammers and slitting their throats after tearing out their hair with sharp metal combs. And so...
Why wasn't this file under sad news?
Well, the good news is that they've banned it. The weird aspect about this is that I don't believe that H&M did not know this. They announced that as part of our 2030 goal to only use sustainably sourced materials, we are now beginning to gradually phase out conventional cashmere. It is going to take them 11 years to stop this nonsense. 2030, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we need to roll out something because every company is doing that these days. So how about 2030? Nobody's going to remember this the next year anyway.
Well, I think, I mean, as I see on the show many times, I mean, I'll take it. Honestly, I don't care what the motivation is.
No, I don't. I think this is just a bullshit statement. If you're genuinely interested in changing things around, it won't take you 11 years. There's technology on your side, there's science on your side, and there is common sense, hopefully, on your side. So please.
No, I think I meant in terms of the motivation. I don't care if you're doing it because other companies are doing it or if you have your own motivations or you're looking at profit. I don't care. Just do it.
Yeah, just don't do it in 2030. By then, like 7 billion other animals would have been tortured. Okay. So, I want to end this with a good news. There's an indigenous tribe from the Ecuadorian Amazon. They have lived in the rainforest for generations and they recently won a court battle against the Ecuadorian government who had allowed to give the land for oil drilling without their permission or without even letting them know. So, they obviously went to the court, which is so unlike a tribe to do, but poor guys, they had to. And 500,000 acres of Amazon rainforest was then saved, which is home to a lot of different biodiversity, is now protected from oil drilling. They're called the Waorani people, and they claim that the government did not consult them about the use of their land for oil auction. However, the Ministry of Energy and Non-Renewable Sources maintain that they did visit the tribe to seek consent. But Mitch Anderson, the founder of NGO Amazon Frontlines, explained that visits were not taken seriously by government officials. No effort was made to learn or speak the local language, and the visits were short.
It's really good to see that people are now, you know, really standing up together. They're having call to actions around these things. And it's great to see, like, for example, like, I mean, these are people that are not necessarily using social media campaigns to get themselves banded together to take on a cause. So it's lovely to see that they're standing up for it and even taking the traditional routes that they would not take, not only getting together, but then going to court to try and fight for what they believe are their rights and the rights of nature and everything else. So that's awesome. I mean, we see this here as well quite a bit nowadays that, like, you're seeing people that are jumping at causes. I mean, I recently came across a post just the other day, these 4 11-year-olds who, like, handed out flyers in their schools to do a beach cleanup, to take care of plastics and stuff like that. I mean, it's amazing. I know it's not the same thing as what the tribes did, much more intense, but it's just good to see. It's very, very good to see.
Still makes me sad, though. I mean, that's not... there are very few tribes left in this world. And they just live peacefully, not bothering anyone, not... they're not a part of this industrial revolution formed humanity or consumerism and things like that, and they just have, they're now being dragged into stuff that they don't know about, and they're being harassed unnecessarily by all these major oil corporations. And at the end of it, we can keep blaming all these oil corporations, but it's all demand, right? It's consumerism, it's eventually us as well, it's the population, it's just all intertwined with each other. And I'm just hoping that, you know, the next generation is a much better one.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so much to fix. Like, the next generation is already showing the fact that they are very aware and that they're very entwined with some of the needs and very entwined in terms of whether it's living a more sustainable life, whether it's taking action or doing, you know, being involved in initiatives that help with that. But there's so much to fix. I mean, one of the conversations I had recently was with this guy who said, look, I mean, it's great. We just had an event on the 19th where we did a sustainability talk with some startups and a few people. And, you know, the general mood was like, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. These are lovely initiatives to see. But, you know, everybody feels this kind of sense of despair that, like, well, what is it going to achieve, though? Like, we need the big people to get involved. It's not enough that we'll keep doing this in little pockets and stuff, but are we making enough of a difference? To them, of course, I would say, yes, we are to some extent. I mean, we just talked about, like, imagine, like, one marathon getting rid of 200,000 plastic bottles. Like, that's quite big a number, actually, Yeah, it's just one initiative. But I think it's super important that companies really, really need to get on board here. Like, we cannot have a world where companies are outside of this process at all. And in fact, they are in positions to make such startling impact. Companies with hundreds and thousands and millions of customers can make such a big impact if they pull a product off the shelf because it has single-use plastic, if they pull off something like you just said, like H&M saying, all right, we're going to pull this product off the shelves and we're not going to buy this product or sell this product anymore because it involves cruelty. That one decision can create like an insane amount of impact. And that's what we need to see more. Yeah, so as we're wrapping up the news, you clearly have some news. So tell us about Sparbrico.
So I launched a vegan store. I've been on a lot of vegan pages and a lot of vegan groups in the UAE, and I saw that there is a certain kind of demand and a gap in supply. So I thought, let me step in because, you know, I'm the mother of cats and the solver of all problems.
Oh, there's a Game of Thrones reference for you.
So, yeah, I felt like I should do something that I really believe in, which is feed people processed vegan food and make them fat. Yeah, so I'm trying to do something little of my own. And yeah, started the online store.
So why are people giving you flack for the name?
They say it's hard to pronounce.
Sparbrico.
Thanks. You can pronounce rubber, but you can't pronounce bubble because it's too hard.
This is a public service announcement to help you with the name of Heathel's new store. It's Sparbrico. Say it with me now.
Sparbrico. I have a lot of emotional attachment to this name. It's basically letters from all the pets that I've ever had.
Oh.
So people give me flack, I just punch them in the face.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. This is pretty awesome stuff. And in fact, I am going to say that I made my first purchase from Sparbrico today.
Yeah, you need to pay. Chirag, this is not for free.
Hey,
to pay.
What are you talking about? The money is sitting on the table right now as we speak. Jeez. Way to portray me poorly. Like.
So we are munching on these amazing vegan, like, cheddar squares.
So I have to say, the reason I picked this one was because this is one I wanted to try because I haven't tried vegan cheddar squares ever, more because it's not a product you get here. But I gotta say, I'm impressed by these. These are so good.
Maybe I should just run a whole store based on this product.
Around cheddar squares? Yeah, they're delicious.
Sorry for making all these eating noises on our podcast, but these are really delicious.
Yeah, we've gone through the whole packet.
Thank you, Earth Balance.
Yeah, thank you, Earth Balance. Like, this is some good cheddar square stuff here. That's it from us for this episode. Thank you for joining us as always. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that in your podcast players. You can find us on the web at amaya.fm/2vegans. And we're also on Instagram, the.2.vegans. Share your stories with us. We're always happy to talk about stuff on Instagram.
Or send us questions.
Oh, yeah, send us questions.
Right. Until then, please go to my store. Bye.
That's why you were laughing, okay?
Imagine if we actually end with this.
No. Keep on keeping on.
No, I don't want to do it. I want people to go and buy. Just close it. I'm just busy eating.
All right. Well, we'll see you soon.
You're going to put this in the episode, aren't you, jerk?
We'll see you soon, guys.